In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It is tempting and far too easy, I fear, to hear these words of Jesus with detached objectivity. After all, you are more readily inclined to speculate at ease about the judgment of God if you believe yourself to be safely out of the line of fire. Just as the Pharisees were confident that whenever the kingdom of God would come, they would surely be invited to participate. Perhaps you are likewise self-assured. Or perhaps you are eager to know what you must do to inherit the kingdom of God. The words of Jesus now dispel both complacency and frantic activism. In the first place, I don't have to know the details of your life. You know them well enough, and the Lord knows them even better. But I don't have to know the details to know where you would stand on your own before the Lord in the judgment. Whatever it is in your heart, in your past, or in your closet, that makes you tremble and shake with fear that your parents or your spouse or your children or, God forbid, your pastor might ever find out. Even if you are able to hide it from your own conscience, you would not be able to hide from the fire and brimstone of God's righteous wrath. But if you should seek to escape his judgment and wrath by your own grasping efforts and striving, then you are equally lost and condemned. The kingdom of God is not to be sought or found by such means, nor does it come with such observances. The harder you strain to see it, the more zealous your efforts to enter it, the more elusive it becomes. And the saddest irony of all is this, that the kingdom of God is right here in your presence all the while. Of course, you say, the kingdom of God is present in Christ Jesus, or better to say that he is the kingdom of God. Well said. You are quite right. The day will come when you desperately yearn to see one of those days of the Son of Man. And for all your knowledge, maybe even an MDiv and a diploma of vocation, you will not see him. When the guilt of your sin haunts you waking, sleeping, when your nearest and dearest are dead or dying, when the prognosis of your own health brings your personal day of judgment that much closer, when the cross lies heavy and sore upon you, then you are on the road to Emmaus, as it were, and your eyes might just as well be closed or blind. You had such hopes that Jesus was the Christ, but now you see nothing, only the cross. O foolish one and slow of heart to believe the word he has spoken. Blessed indeed were the eyes of his disciples who were given the grace to see him in the flesh, but no longer, not yet. No longer is he known by sight, but he is still very present, and he is known in the breaking of the bread, in the eating and drinking of his body and blood. There are those, it is true, who try to point to the Son of Man and the kingdom of God over here, over there, in this or that behavior or this or that program. But you are his disciples, and you will not be led astray because you are catechized and guided by his scriptures. These open your eyes and your heart to see the Christ in every word and to recognize him in the breaking of the bread. It is this word of Christ that lights and shines the way from one end of heaven to the other, from the rising of the sun to its setting. He is neither here nor there, but everywhere, yet only to be seen by the eyes of faith. opened by the preaching of his word, and only to be found where his word is preached and his body and blood are administered within his church. This lightning of his word flashes from the cross, beginning in Jerusalem, throughout all of Judea, into Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth, even to Cramer Chapel, always from the cross. Thus, it is first of all divinely necessary, preeminently important, that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected. Why? In order to endure and thereby satisfy the judgment of God against sin, and thus to provide an ark of salvation and a way of escape in the day of judgment, lest the entire world and everyone in it be damned. Thus, for the sake of Christ, the world was tolerated in patience while Noah built the ark, and Sodom was allowed to remain in spite of its sin while righteous Lot was yet within it. But then again, for the sake of Christ, believing Noah and his family were spared from the flood, kept dry and secure within the ark, and Lot was taken away to safety while everyone else was destroyed. For it was not given to Noah nor to Lot that either one of them should bear the judgment of God against the ungodly and the unrighteous. But they were spared that judgment which they themselves deserved by grace alone, through faith alone, for the sake of Christ alone. Because he, the Christ, did bear the judgment of God against sin. And he who is truly and only righteous endured the wrath of God against all unrighteousness. For the cross, you see, is the flood. It is Sodom and Gomorrah. It is the destruction of Jerusalem. It is the fall of the Roman Empire. It is the final judgment of the world. It is fire and brimstone and hell and damnation, and the vengeance of God against all the blood of the martyrs from righteous Abel to Zechariah. It is the cup of wrath and woe drained down to the dregs. And all of this suffered by Christ for you, in your stead, on your behalf, that you might not be destroyed. But what then? Shall you eat, drink, and be merry? Or shall you fast and take vows of chastity and celibacy? Shall you buy and sell and plant and build? Or should you sell all that you have, give the money to the poor, and go retire to the desert? Frankly, you may do as you see fit. Only do not presume that the kingdom of God will come with any such observances. It is neither here nor there. Whatever you do or don't do, do it all to the glory of God. Just as John the Baptist came, neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and they said, he has a demon. Well, the Son of Man came, eating and drinking, and they said, he is a drunkard and a friend of sinners. You shall neither hasten the kingdom of God by your indulgence, nor avoid the judgment of God by your abstinence. You may be destroyed equally well on a full stomach or undernourished. And we may as well take note, as Holy Scripture has recorded, that both faithful Noah and righteous Lot got drunk and passed out immediately after they were saved from judgment. You see, the kingdom of God is not a matter of your good or bad behavior. If you want to know when the kingdom of God will come, do not even think about these things. No, friend, the kingdom of God is already here and now among you. Not yet for your eyes to see, but nonetheless. The lightning of the word of Christ is flashing and shining all the way from his cross unto you, revealing the Son of Man crucified and risen as your Savior from sin, death, and hell. Upon his cross, he has already borne all the wrath and judgment of God against your sin. It is finished. you are forgiven. All that you were with all your sinful lusts and desires has been drowned and destroyed in the flood of your baptism. And all that you are in Christ is kept safe within this holy ark of Christendom. And here, surrounded by his holy angels, seated at his table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and with all the host of heaven, the Son of Man, that great friend of sinners, is still eating and drinking and sharing the wedding feast of his kingdom with you. Until at last he shall stand upon the earth, and you shall see him in the flesh with your own two eyes, and you shall live with him in his kingdom in righteousness and purity forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.